Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians say no. That if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Had fact of the day, 296 new COVID cases over the weekend. Out of those cases, 269 were here in Lagos. And by the way, these numbers don't even include Lagos cases from yesterday. We're still waiting for those. But we've heard from Governor Sanwo-Olu. He says that it looks like a third wave is starting here in Lagos. He said in the last few days, occupancy in the COVID isolation centers here in Lagos have gone up from 1% to 6%. Similarly, the percentage of tests coming back positive went up from 1.1% to 6.6%. He also said that out of the over 50,000 so-called passengers of interest who flew into Lagos in the last 2 months, 18% cannot be traced because they gave wrong contact details. And 15% of those passengers are from red-listed countries. They escaped isolation. So passengers from Brazil, India, Turkey, and South Africa, 15% of them escaped isolation. Which brings me to the second hard fact of the day. 1%, only 1% of Lagosians have received two doses of the COVID vaccine. Only 1%. I'm one of them. So that's one out of every 100 Lagosians. The governor also said that. Now, the state's target is 60% so that we can have herd immunity. The governor says that we are expecting another batch of vaccines very soon. Lagos, not only is this virus still among us, but we may be heading into a third wave. So please take precautions right now. Limit your movements. Wear a mask when you go out. Keep your distance from people when you can. Wash and sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. And get vaccinated. Like I told you, those videos you're seeing online of magnets and bulbs and all of that nonsense is exactly that, nonsense. I don't have any... the vaccines I took are not magneting anything, unfortunately. They're also not lighting any bulbs, unfortunately, because it means that I don't need the torch on my phone anymore. Whenever I'm walking anywhere, I can just switch it on. But all of that isn't happening. There's a new one that says, oh, you're going to die in 2 years. It's all a lie. Jobless people sit down, concoct bullcrap stories and start to disseminate it. It's what they do. The simple things you can do is go to the right sources. Who are the right sources for these informations? Go to WHO. Go to CDC. Go to NCDC as well. They have all the right information about this. No one's out to get you. If they were out to get you, I'd be dead because I've taken the vaccine. Two of them. Two. So please, find the nearest health center close to you and go get your COVID-19 vaccine. Third hard fact of the day, voter registration is ongoing and you can register online. Just go to www.cvrinecnigeria.org. So that's C for cat, V for violence, R for radio, cvr.inecnigeria.org. cvr.inecnigeria.org. If everybody who listens to me, the 1 million Lagosians who cannot be wrong, by the way, and listen to me, do this because they are of age to do it. So that means that they're 18 and above, or they've never done it before, or they switched their polling units from one particular location to a different location. We will have massive, massive numbers who have registered to vote, and we can convert that into action on election day. Now, today on the big weekend, we'll talk about the major NUJ, NGE, and NPAN taking out a front page ad in many national newspapers condemning the proposed NBC Act and Press Council Act as an attempt at information blackout. So you have the NUJ, the NGE, and NPAN taking out front page ads in a lot of national newspapers. We'll talk about that. Then we'll also talk about the Chief of Defence Staff saying that the armed forces have still not adapted to asymmetric warfare. And then Loretta Onochie facing the Senate. And then let's talk about the federal government spending 97% of last year's revenues on debt servicing. We'll bring you Madam Landlord today and continue our conversation about landlords who do not rent to certain categories of people. I'm going to be joined by real estate agents who can talk about this from both the landlord's perspective and the tenant's perspective. And we want to hear your stories as well. Like I said, no judgment. It's just an attempt to understand why it happens and whether we can find solutions that work for everybody who is involved. On the big hard fact, let's talk about the current move to amend the Electoral Act. You've heard the proposed ban on electronic transmission of results. You've also heard about all the other additions to the Electoral Act. So we're going to be analysing that. We're going to be analysing other provisions of the Electoral Act. My guest will be Cynthia Mbamalo. She's a co-founder of YAGA. YAGA is a CSO that lobbies for electoral reform. As usual, we're going to bring you the latest news updates every hour on the hour. But I think you've heard enough. Let's get started with the big weekend today. Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. Support or oppose the NBC Act and Prince Council Act amendment bills? Do you oppose or support the NBC Act and Press Council Act amendment bills? Do you think the armed forces are taking too long to adapt to asymmetric warfare? And should the Senate confirm Loretta Onochie as an INEC commissioner? How can the federal government reduce the debt-to-revenue ratio? It was a big weekend. Lagos, let's talk about it. Nigerian journalists, editors, and newspaper owners are protesting on your front pages. If you bought almost any major daily today, you saw a large ad on the front page. If you're watching our live stream on Facebook and YouTube, you can see some pictures of it. Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. It was paid for by the Nigerian Union of Journalists, NUJ, the Nigerian Guild of Editors, NGE, and the Newspaper Proprietors Association of Nigeria, NPAN. These are the people that paid for these ads. These three groups are protesting against the plans to amend the NBC Act and the Nigerian Press Council Act. They say the amendments would give government too much power over the press and broadcast media, which can be used to trample on your right to information. Let me read what the ad says to you. The ad says, quote, information blackout. That's what the federal government wants to achieve with the NPC and NBC Act amendment bills. It's not just against the media. It's about society's right to know, your right to be heard, end quote. Now, this is an ad in lots of newspapers. The Nation, This Day, Business Day, Daily Trust, Tribune, Vanguard, The Punch, Leadership, News Direct, This Nigeria, New Telegraph, Blueprint. This ad on their front pages. Go ahead, go take a look at it on our live stream. Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM on YouTube. Let me also, make sure that you're seeing all the pictures, right? So, because this is impressive. A lot of people have called it very impressive what has happened. Now, we've been talking about these bills for a couple of weeks now. We've had various stakeholders from both broadcast and print media talk about it, even here on Hard Facts, and generally. And the feedback has been negative. By the way, we're going to be talking about both bills again on Thursday's Big Hard Fact. Next week, Thursday's Big Hard. We're going to move that conversation to Monday. So next week, Monday, we're going to talk about it again. So remember to tune in Monday, 5 p.m. I'll have a roundtable of media practitioners, as always. But back to this ad. The three unions behind it say that the amendment bills give the presidency too much power over the press. The president would have the right to select the board of the press council without Senate confirmation. The board will then have the right to decide what is or what is not fake news. The board will also have power when it comes to punishments and penalties for publications and their journalists. And then there's the NBC Act. It gives the minister power to write and approve the code, as in the code that determines what can and cannot be discussed on radio and on TV and how the topics can be discussed. The minister will get the power to do that if the amendment passes. The NUJ, NGE and NPAN don't want that. They want to keep the current system where the NBC can write and approve its own code without direct involvement from the Information Ministry. But notice what the advert said. The advert said that these conversations are not just about the media. These three groups believe that if these bills are passed, they will affect you. They believe that the bills will limit the information you can receive in Nigeria. And in turn, this will weaken your ability to hold government accountable. Do you agree? Or do you disagree? 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Women, give us a call on that number. And then men, as always, 0700-993-993-993. What do you think about this protest advert from the NUJ? You're watching our live stream. It's right there for you to see. NUJ, NGE, NPAN. What do you think about the proposed amendments to the acts? The Press Council Act, the NBC Act. And what do you think about these three groups saying that if these bills are passed, they will affect you? They believe that the bills will limit the information you can receive in Nigeria. And in turn, it will weaken your ability to hold government accountable. Especially when you think about the fact that government has banned Twitter, and maybe on their way to regulating all the other social media. So I'm talking about WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram and Telegram, all of them. Bwenga Inikurudu, hi. Thanks for calling. Hello, Bwenga. All right, Bwenga is not there anymore. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. All right, 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hello.
Good day, Sandra.
Good day. What's your name, sir?
My name is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
I think what is going on is the if you look at the way they are banning all these things, all these laws are coming out at the same time, Twitter, social media. It all boils down to 2023.
Okay.
Third term agenda. So that when the media, is weakened, the people can no longer, you know, express their views. In that way, whatever you say, they will tell you that it's, because they will determine which one is fake news. They tell you that it's fake news. They jail, you know, by the time they start jailing people, you will be voiceless by then. I think that 2023, third time agenda that is playing out, Sander. Thank you.
Michael, thank you very much. We've got Leke from Shagam on the line. Hi, Leke.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Leke from Shagam, Physically Challenged.
Yes, welcome.
Okay, I want to agree the Afrobeat because hello, can you hear me?
You want to?
I mean the deal, by the government. I'm against it.
You're against it, okay?
Hello.
Yes, I'm hearing you, huh?
Yeah, I'm against it because I can see as a abuse about human rights as in Nigeria.
Okay.
About the government want to block our way of getting them accountable and responsible for their leadership. Hello.
Okay.
Okay. Another I'm coming to just inform listeners that you please support me. I did my new song last Friday. I titled it "There's Nothing You Cannot Do" by Lake Akorede. It's done in our YouTube. See, I need the listener to go and check it out.
Okay.
Encourage me. There's nothing you cannot do by Lake Akorede on YouTube.
Lake Akorede on YouTube. Thank you, Lake, for calling. John is not Jotu. Hi, John. How are you?
Hello.
Hello, John.
Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I am against overregulation of the press.
Okay.
But they shouldn't lead the people by the nose. You understand?
Okay.
Let's see how everything goes. They shouldn't push people to be fighting. They have their own bad side too. They mislead people in their own way. But I think they should not make the public fight their fight for them. Then ask for
They're saying it's not their fight. They're saying it's your fight. You disagree?
They shouldn't tell us what is our fight.
Okay.
People will know when something is for them. Don't lead them by the nose.
Okay.
Let them. You just say you are fighting for your members or you're fighting on behalf of. You don't want to face sanction when you make mistakes. Blah blah blah. Let them sort themselves out. Let them send representatives to the house. They know how to go about it. Let them not push. The people have enough problem at hand. They shouldn't be using people as guinea pig. Then as for the social media, especially Twitter, a lot of countries are coming up now with rules and regulations restricting their overbearing.
Which countries?
So, Canada has done their own.
Canada said no. Canada did not come up with any law regulating Twitter.
Sandra,
I've seen that report that all of you are circulating. You cannot come and say they're making moves. I'm telling you that's inaccurate. I've seen the news reports, and the news reports did not do what Nigeria has done. Canada did was number one. Make sure that their content gets a premium on these social media sites. That's number one. Number two, make sure that they're also getting taxes from these social media platforms. So they haven't, number one, suspended it and suspended their country members from getting access to these social media platforms.
The issue of suspension, I know the government will not have their finances.
Moving the goalposts. We're talking. You made a very huge statement there. You said many countries are trying to do the same thing, and I just showed you it's not the same thing, and you're moving on.
Many countries are trying to cut the excesses.
They are not.
There is nothing like free.
When you say excesses, what do you mean? When you say excesses, what do you mean?
If you want to go into that right now, there will be no time. But let's not go into that. Then for the Onoche, I don't think she should get that position. She should not be allowed to get that position. That's unfair. For Onoche, there are so many other people that are qualified for the position. She can't say she 2 years ago she was a member of APC. What makes us think that now this year now she's no more? It's not by you saying it. Don't associate with it. Let there be a free and fair election. The referees should be free. So I don't buy that idea. But when it comes to social media, I think they should be curtailed, but they should not be...
What does curtailed mean? When you say curtailed, what do you mean?
Societies are not... So societies cannot be the same.
Okay.
When people keep saying our freedom, where your own freedom starts is where others, where your own freedom stops, that's where others start.
Okay, exactly. Exactly. That's why the courts exist. And that's why the court has given you power. Hold on. That's why the courts have given you power for when somebody infringes on your own freedom. So why does the entire country have to suffer for your own freedoms to be upheld?
Well, I think the case is in courts. Let's wait for the outcome of the court.
John, thank you very much for calling. John moved from saying other countries are doing it to saying that we're not like other countries. All right, then. Adegoke, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, this bill is anti-people, and it's to stifle the Nigerians from expressing themselves. Their own opinion and the right to voice out freedom of speech.
But you just heard John. John said it's not the fight of the people, it's the fight of the press. So why is the press leading the people by the nose and trying to get the people to fight for the press? What do you think about that?
No, I think it's a fight for the government. The press is actually fighting for us, okay. For the people. Yeah, they are speaking the minds of the people, of course. Is the government that is trying to stifle us from speaking our minds, from having freedom of speech. So we should all stand against the government, against that bill, because it is anti-people. And it's just basically to cage us not to talk, you know, when it comes to things that they do that is not right, and then they don't want the world to actually see what they are doing. You know, so because once they are able to control the press and the social media, then determine what should be fake news or not, then that means they are shielding themselves from the world, so that people will not see what they are doing right here, and that's not nice. You know, it's really going to affect us. We are going to be in bondage if that happens. So it should be sternly opposed.
All right. Thank you, Adegoke, for calling. Maki Lagos says, good afternoon, my presido, Sandra. Well done for your eye-opening program. I'm totally against that demon-possessed bill to check and stifle my freedom of speech or try to lead me by the nose. Only God who created me can regulate what I say, not humans like me controlling what I say. If you just tuned in, Lagos, I told you that the Nigerian journalists, editors, and newspaper owners are protesting on your front page. If you bought any newspaper today, you saw a big advert. If you're watching our live stream, I'm showing you what that advert looks like. Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM on YouTube. So these ads were in The Nation, This Day, Business Day, Daily Trust, Tribune, Vanguard, The Punch, Leadership, News Direct, This Nigeria, Blueprint, New Telegraph, Daily Sun, all of it. It's there. And that's what we talked about on the show today, right? These three unions say that this amendment gives the presidency too much power over the press. And they say that it's about you and it's a fight that you should care about. Do you agree with that? We'll talk about that and so much more after this break.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
It's 3:28 and the Emir of Kajuru in Kaduna was abducted from his palace in the early hours of Sunday morning. A grandson of the Emir confirmed that he was taken along with 12 family members. If you just tuned into the show, you're listening to the biggest stories that broke over the weekend on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. If you've been following the news, you know that there have been so many abductions in Kaduna recently. We've had the various school kidnappings. Then we also had the attack on the airport staff quarters. Now we're seeing even traditional rulers getting taken. So the question on many lips is, what are the security agencies doing to protect people in Kaduna and other states that are high risk? The president has ordered them to provide a, quote, crushing response to end the bandits and the other terrorists who are behind these kidnappings and these attacks. Now, whether or not the security agencies were waiting for the president to tell them to crush the bandits, I'll leave you to decide that one. Oh, and speaking of the troops, the Chief of Defense Staff, General Lucky Irabo, says the problem is that the armed forces are not equipped and trained for the current situation. General Irabo said, quote, our involvement in containing asymmetric security threats in the past few years has highlighted the need to acquire new operational capability of the armed forces of Nigeria to deal with emergent threats. As you are aware, asymmetric warfare encourages the use of non-traditional military tactics for which our previous training and operational doctrines were not well suited. Accordingly, we are developing new capabilities in intelligence and surveillance, which are critical for staying ahead of terrorists and insurgents and other criminal elements in the society, end quote. So he's saying that the armed forces are set up to fight conventional wars, but that the current campaigns calls for asymmetric warfare and counterinsurgency. Now, this is not new information, Lagos. In 2016, in fact, ever since 2016, not in 2016 precisely, the present administration and the military have been saying this thing. It needs to be asymmetric. I don't know the right pronunciation right now. I'll have to check. But they said that Boko Haram was technically defeated and that they had switched to asymmetric warfare and are focused on soft targets. And so for the last 5 years, the military has told us it was watching or it had switched to counterinsurgency tactics for asymmetric warfare. So the question is, how come 5 years later, the new Chief of Defense Staff is saying that the switch has not been made? If General Irabo is correct, what have the Defense Ministry and the Armed Forces been doing for the last 5 years? Does this mean that they've been deploying the wrong strategy, the wrong tactics, the wrong equipment, using soldiers who were not trained for the right kind of war? Again, if General Irabo is correct, does that mean that the past service chiefs and other decision makers need to explain why they were unable to make the switch to asymmetric warfare between 2016 and now? Lagos, how you see them? 0700-993-993-993. Men, call me on that number. What do you think about the Ermias kidnapping? Women, call me on 01465-7190. What do you think about the Chief of Defense Staff saying that the armed forces have still not adequately equipped and trained themselves for asymmetric warfare against insurgents and bandits? 99.3.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
How are you today?
I'm very well.
Okay, I'm concerned about Mr. Buhari.
Okay.
When he gives those marching orders for them to cross the bandits, does he record how many times he has given such lifeless orders that nobody has given any heed to? I hear that any time there's an attack, he gives the order and nothing happens. When I keep a record of the things that they say, that's number one for Mr. Buhari. You shouldn't give it. Number two, for General Irabo, I want to acclaim him for his quick discovery. He's not aware that asymmetric battle. We've had the same militancy, we've had the same motor polarity for the past 5 or 6 years. Nothing has changed. So what happened to all of these incumbents of staff that were there? Don't they know what was going on? I don't understand this country, Nigeria, honestly. I really don't understand the kind of reality we have. We need an intervention. This is really, really bad. The quality of reality is very, very abysmal. It's false. Yeah, because of my experience. I don't understand why you do not say that after 5 years that they are now retraining them. So what happened for the past 7 years? How has that changed? of Naira committed to this cause has not produced any result. Honestly, I'm fed up today, and I think it's a while to check. He talks, and nobody takes his word to act on it. And my president, that is very, very questionable. He keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Once an attack, he comes to say they should crush them, but nobody gets crushed. They just attack again, and the same thing happens. So I don't understand what's going on.
Thank you for calling. Sorry about irritating you. Friday in Ibulere, hello.
Hi, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, Sandra, the kidnapping of the Emir of Kaduna State, for me, I see this as a coup. Do you know why? I'm not celebrating it, but it's good on the part of the people because the governor of Kaduna State has been boasted that he will not pay ransom when other people's children were kidnapped. Okay. He has been boasted that he will never pay ransom. Okay. So they thought that this thing will never get to from school children now to the traditional ruler. By the time he gets to the government themselves, then the government will take it serious. He will know how to fight in the state. Remember, there was no more kidnapping in Kaduna State for now. For the first time, the first kidnapping, the governor came out boldly that even if his wife or his children are kidnapped, he will not pay ransom. That's why we are having more kidnapping in Kaduna State today. And a traditional ruler has been kidnapped now. Let us wait and see what will be the outcome this area.
All right, Friday. It's actually not accurate that the kidnapping wasn't rampant until the governor came out to say, I won't pay ransom. They were paying ransom before, which is why governor now came out and said, okay, I'm done paying ransoms because ransoms are encouraging them, right? Uh-huh. Okay, 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm fine. This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilegum.
Welcome, Pastor Ladipo.
My take is on the issue of this, what is it called? The kidnap.
Okay.
Of that Emir.
Okay.
It is painful that when this thing started with the common people, the way they were handling it, now they are moving gradually. For me, I would suggest, because this governor, some time ago, he said he was able to locate the people that were killing their people and pay them off. Maybe they are the same people that have graduated to kidnapping children from children that are now, they've now gone to pick up somebody that is that prominent. Let him also use his intelligence. Go and locate them. And at the same time, see how they can set this man free. Because I can't imagine the trauma the man is going through right now. Then lastly, on this issue of social media, and this so-called broadcasting law. Most of us, we don't understand that power is transient. And it is the law you make down now that those who are coming behind, they will now go into. These people will not remain in power forever. So whatever they are putting on, me, I want to support NBA to fight to the end so that this kind of thing will not be established. There is already existing law in the Constitution about the formation of character or whatever. Now they move further. They do want to make sure that nobody's voice should be heard again. I want to appreciate Ninja Info because most stations, either television or radio, they've stopped allowing people to phone in because they are afraid of sanctions upon sanctions upon sanctions. It is painful. The only day to leave power, their children will not die at the same time. Their family will not die. They will leave. So see some of the laws they put in place turning to something else.
Thank you very much for calling. Kayode Samuel says, quite a pity that General Irabo said this. If my memory serves me well, this man spent over 20 years as an armed force personnel. The truth of the matter is that the insurgency war has no end in sight. Godsonido says, Sandra, this government has suffered us a lot. Anything they like, let them do. 2023 is around the corner. They just want to finish the country. All right. Usman Samuel says, we say no to that bill that will cage our freedom of information. If bandits go as far as kidnapping an emir, hope they will not kidnap our president next. Tessie from Idimu says, Adeshino says, Sandra, is it not annoying when some people just call the radio only to say no freedom is absolute? It's an inhumane statement. Why should the same government embark on reducing the strength of the media, a viaduct through which transparency should have been a great benefit? They should gain people back with good governance. Leave them to judge which news is fake or real. We've got more comments via WhatsApp. Sandra, is there any reason you guys are not mentioning the names of the sponsors of this wicked bill and the area he represents? We need to ensure that such dangerous persons do not return to the NAS in the future. People died for this democracy, and it seems that we've forgotten that. Tunji from Lekki with that message. All right, let's move on to our very next story. Broke over the weekend as well. At the close of last week, Loretta Onochie appeared before the Senate for possible confirmation as an INEC commissioner. And there's been a lot of controversy about this. The PDP has objected to President Buhari nominating Onochie because she has been an active member of the APC and she's been the president's personal assistant for social media. Remember, the nomination came up once before. It got shut down, but now it's back. Now, when Onochie appeared before the Senate last week, she was asked whether she was an active member of the APC. And here's what she said.
I was everywhere, but from 2019, none of them would say they have seen me in their station. I have stayed away from all those things, just concerned with supporting Mr. President.
So at what point did you discontinue?
Sorry.
Please state it. At what point did you discontinue?
You have a date by the
nation. So at what point did you discontinue? 2019 or during this revalidation?
I said 2019. I said from 2019 till date. And that informed my refusing to revalidate because I had left.
I hope you were watching that on our live stream. If you're not, we're going to play it for you again so that you can watch. But you basically have her saying there that she stopped being an active member of the APC in 2019. She restricted her activity to supporting the president directly. We're streaming live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, Facebook, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM, Lagos. Let's break down what Loretta Onochie said. First of all, she says that she has stopped being an active member of the APC since 2019. And I have to ask you, is a two-year break enough? If someone had, in the past, been a very, very active member of a political party, is a two-year break long enough to ensure that this person will no longer be political or no longer have allegiances to that party and its members, which could, capital letter, could make her biased? How long is long enough? Or should somebody who has been an active political party operative never be allowed to be an INEC commissioner? Now, leaving aside party membership, Onochie is a PA to the president on new media. So she has had a political appointment directly from the president, who is obviously still very active in party politics. So again, the question is, should this be disqualifying when it comes to picking an INEC commissioner? Incidentally, tomorrow on the morning show, Wemimo will be speaking with the INEC PRO in Lagos here on Nigeria Info 99.3 on the Morning Crossfire. So make sure you listen to that interview. Morning Crossfire is between 5 a.m. and 9 a.m. But yeah, back to Loretta Onochie. There's also the question about whether she actually took a break at all. Back in June 2020, long before the Twitter ban, she tweeted about an APC meeting that was about to take place. She tweeted, quote, "There is definitely an APC e-neck meeting tomorrow. We're going through a growth process. Thank you, everyone," end quote. This was tweeted on June 24th, 2020. Various newspapers have carried that quotation. So there she is, 1 year ago, calling the APC, quote-unquote, we. And then there's the affidavit. Some online newspapers have published a sworn affidavit, which she, which they say, these newspapers are saying, was from Loretta Onoche in an ongoing libel suit that she filed. If you're watching our live stream, we're showing you that affidavit as well. In that affidavit, which is dated June 30th of 2021, this year, Onoche allegedly says, quote, I am also a member of the All Progressives Congress and a volunteer at the Buhari Support Group, end quote. Look at it for yourself on our live stream, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's Facebook, Nigeria Info FM, YouTube. So the question becomes, did Onoche tell the truth to the Senate panel when she said she's no longer an active member of the APC or any other political party? And speaking of that Senate panel, one of the members made an interesting point. Senator Okpeyemi Bamidele of Ekiti North. He said that even if Onoche were a political actor, he saw no problem with her nomination. He gave the example of Mahmood Yakubu, the current INEC chairman. Bamidele said Yakubu had previously worked for President Buhari in different capacity. And so if it is good enough for the INEC chairman, it is good enough for a commissioner. And I want to know if you agree with this or if you believe that working for the president or working with the president in the past should disqualify anyone from either chairmanship of INEC or, you know, commissioner for INEC. By the way, 5 p.m. today, we're going to be diving very deep into the Electoral Act Amendment Bill. My guest will be Cynthia Mbamalu from YAGA. But right now, let's talk about Loretta. What do you think about her saying that she's not too biased for the INEC job because she left APC in 2019? What do you think about this tweet and this alleged court statement, which seemed to place her as an APC member after 2019? The tweet was from 2020, the court affidavit from this year. And what do you think about Senator Bamidele's argument? Women, call me on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp. Please send us a WhatsApp message. 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. We've got Benjamin Eruvu on Facebook who says, Sandra, don't you think there's a plan on the ground for Loretta to assume the position of INEC commissioner? There's something fishy here. Well, she was nominated as a commissioner, but okay. Onoche might not be an active member, but she's still an APC member, Madiba says. Madiba, thank you for your message. Perhaps, okay, I'm not going to read that message. Sina Bankson says, Sandra, all these new bills are gradual steps to dictatorship. If we do nothing about it now, this country will weep bitterly tomorrow. For the kidnap of the Emir, it is because they refuse to do something when they were supposed to do something. They refuse to speak out against these terrorists. All right, let's see who's on our line. Hello. Hello. All right, we seem to be having some technical wahala with the phone lines. I don't know what's happening there. So I'm just going to focus on reading your messages. Let's see, on WhatsApp. Sandra, you that is campaigning for women, look at example of one. Do you really want to do this? Should we look at the men who have been in office since 2000 and actually since 1960? Do you really want to do that? Has it stopped you from campaigning for men? Please don't get me started, I beg. Sandra, this is the biggest lie of the year 2021. That's a message from Easy Boy. Easy Boy is in Ogun State. Let's try the phone lines again. 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Tony. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Hi, Tony.
Want to contribute in respect of Loretta Onoche?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a very simple matter.
Okay.
Whether he has sworn 20 affidavits or 40, the fact remains that at a time, he was in romance with APC. So if the president still needs her services, there are other areas she can be appointed, but not to INEC, because this is a plot to perpetuate APC in power. So there are other things you can do. That is just my own opinion. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling to share it. 99.3.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon.
How's work today?
Very well. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, I'm Benjamin. I'm calling from Ikeja.
Hi, Benjamin.
I'm okay. And Sandra, please, I just want to make this comment straight. You see, the situation at hand, Nigeria is heading to a serious destruction. If you people don't see it, we and the soft citizens, they have seen what is coming. And to me, I'm just giving you my opinion. Nigeria is heading to serious destruction. Because why? The laws are there, but the laws are not what? Obeyed. You have laws, and people are there creating another new law. This is a Sharia law coming. And these people, they have been doing it for a long period of time, and this is what they are practicing now. It's coming in. There is no law that was changed, even during Obasanjo or Jonathan. We still maintain the status quo. But why is it that this era, they've been changing laws? If you cannot develop the citizens, is it law you come and change?
Thank you for calling, Benjamin. I should also tell you that Professor Atahiru Jega said something. But before I do, let me tell you, of course, that laws were changed. Under Jonathan Oh, under Buhari, laws were changed. Even this electoral act that we're talking about now was amended under Jonathan. Laws were amended, laws were changed. Every administration has tried to take a bit more power away from the media. This is not unique to the Buhari administration. But Professor Atahiru Jega, former INEC chairman, says that the president should reconsider Onoche because of all the controversy. He says that all the controversy may undermine credibility of elections that she's involved in. Jega said, quote, "This kind of controversy is really avoidable. Any such person who generated such a controversy, the appointing authorities should be careful because you don't want to appoint anybody that can raise suspicions or doubts or can lead to a loss of trust of the electoral management body. I'm sorry to say that from some of the documents that I have been privileged to see, both about her British citizens and the very active participation in a political party up until 2019, you will try to avoid appointing such a person into an electoral commission because it can generate controversy. To be honest, the president can also withdraw that nomination. After all, there are so many women with credibility, with capacity, competence in both Delta and across rivers. So why bring someone that will generate controversy and raise suspicions about the intention of the appointment?" End quote. That's from Professor Atahiru Jega, the former INEC chairman. We'll take a final call and then I'll bring you our final story, also broke over the weekend. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joyce.
Good afternoon. My name is Sandra. What's your name?
Sorry, good afternoon, Sandra.
What's your name, sir?
This is Pastor Ladipos calling from Orilegum.
Okay.
You see, my take is on this, Madam Loretta. Even if she is not an APC member, but she's an aide. She has had an appointment, political appointment, to defend the president on the new media. So it is not about whether he resigned or he retired 10 years ago or 5 or 2 years or last month. He has accepted. So this body we are talking about now is supposed to be an independent body, right?
Right.
So it is an independent body. We need someone that doesn't have any form of attachment. Even if they do have, it should not be a public thing. Something that is well known. Let me tell you, if she's nominated and passed, and they gave her pass mark, no matter how credible the election she will conduct, a lot of people will begin to doubt it, especially those that will lose. Let them think now. They can give a ministerial appointment.
Thank you very much for calling, Pastor Ladikbo. All right, last year, the federal government spent 97% of all its revenues on debt servicing. That's one of the key takeaways from budget's analysis of the 2020 budget implementation. They published it on Friday. Now, let me take you through some of the numbers, right? The budget itself was 10 trillion naira. Actual revenue was 3.42 trillion naira. So revenue was less than 35% of what we even needed to fund the budget. Debt servicing was 3.34 trillion naira. So after the federal government made our debt servicing payments, the total revenue left was 80 billion naira to fund the budget. Meaning, of course, that the federal government had to borrow yet again to fund the remaining 6 trillion naira or so of the budget. Meaning that we can expect that debt servicing will remain very high in the coming years as we keep trying to repay debt while borrowing more and more and more. And whenever you talk about debt, the finance ministry will tell you we don't have a problem. They'll tell you our debt to GDP ratio is still fine. But then I talk to the experts outside of government and they all say that debt to revenue is a more important metric than debt to GDP. Shengwon Igbinde, the founder of Budget, he said so here on Hard Facts. Nonso Bikili, who used to be the chief economist for Business Day, said the same thing here on Hard Facts. Because think about it. Imagine that your salary could only cover 35% of your monthly expenses. And now, while you are thinking about how you're going to source the other 65%, people that you are owing come and collect 97% of your salary. That means that you're left with 1.05% of the money that you need to handle your monthly expenses. That means that you have to handle 99% of your new expenses by borrowing some more. At some point, you're going to run out of salary for debt repayment. 80 billion naira. Think about that. That's all the actual cash that the government had after debt servicing. It's not even enough to pay government salaries, meaning that the federal government is borrowing money to pay most of its wage bill. And it seems that there's no end in sight to the borrowing. Last Wednesday, the Senate approved a $6 billion loan for the executive so that they can fund this year's budget. Each year, the budget size inches upwards, usually faster than revenue. So that means that the FG is having to borrow more and more to fund each budget. No costs are being cut. No revenue stream is not increasing. And this just continues to happen. Year in, year out. And I want to know what you think about that situation. Do you think the federal executive and federal legislature are managing this debt responsibly? What do you think about 97% of last year's federal government revenue having to go to debt servicing? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got Facebook. Share your thoughts there as well. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Kayode Nikoyi is on the line. Hi, Kayode.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Number one, I think that statistics is not rightly placed. Even though I'm not a supporter of this government, I think their debt management is zero. But I think because of the coronavirus epidemic and the crisis that rocked the whole world, the revenue of most countries dropped last year. So I think it's a one-off thing. I don't see it as something that could repeat itself this year, especially considering what oil prices doing and which on the basis of government revenue.
Yeah, but even before coronavirus, before last year, debt servicing was above 75%.
I'm not arguing with you that debt to revenue ratio is not terrible. It's terrible.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that
last year was because of corona.
Might not be a repetitive thing. Even though the rate you're borrowing and not creating tea. I can't even defend this government, even when you try. They keep pulling your hand. So, Sandra, who will help us?
Coyote, thank you for calling. Henry's in Warri. Wow. Henry, thank you for calling us from Warri. Henry, hi. Thank you for calling us. Yes, go ahead. You're talking to Sandra now.
Okay. Yeah. This, I hope this borrowed, will not let us to look for a day from what this country majority have rejected once upon a time, because there was a time that we're going for Islamic whatever. Because this borrowing is becoming too much. I've just tried to preempt in my mind.
Okay.
Are you there, sir?
I'm here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, the whole thing, is there no way out? What are the solutions, like the senators, they keep approving this borrow when we are servicing debt with 97% of our revenue? Nothing is left. So the country will borrow to leave. What about cutting costs? What about the old gold mining and all that is going on? It's not contributing to the revenue. The other times, Zafara is selling their gold and it's not contributing to the revenue. Other people's other source of revenue that is in this country, we just depend on the oil. We just find a way to see that we add all this up.
Thank you for calling, Henry. We have a message from Abiola in Lekki who says, federal government is going against its own laws. I, as a worker, cannot borrow against more than 60% of my salary, as my take-home cannot be less than 40%. The actions of the FG is illegal and irresponsible. Let's bring you business news. And after that, we'll bring you Madam Landlord. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.